From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Five Kings of Sin We All Must Slay, part of his series in the book of Joshua. The text is chapter 10, verses 16 through 27, where we find the record of the five heathen kings who sought to destroy the Gibeonites for having entered into a league with the army of Israel. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is using the names of the cities ruled by those kings to identify areas of sin over which Christians must achieve victory if they would go on with God. The first of the five kings is the King of Jerusalem, which means the City of Peace. And a false sense of peace based on a person's own thoughts has deluded many into thinking they're right with God. Salvation must be through the merits of Christ alone, as expressed in the Gospel. Next comes the King of Hebron, a name that connotes fellowship or association. Many a professing Christian has erred in thinking to enter heaven at last while walking and living with a worldly crowd or by giving support to apostates. The third king ruled the city of Jarmuth, a name which carries the meaning of loftiness or pride. Indeed, pride has kept multitudes out of heaven. It is the enemy of God's people as well. In the king of Lachish, we find the characteristic of invincibility. This implies a battle against hardness of heart or against a cherished sin. Yet there is victory through the blood of Christ. Before Dr. Cairns continues the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 111 and verse 9. He hath commanded his covenant forever. The Lord's people delight in the covenant itself. It is an unfailing source of consolation to them, so often as the Holy Spirit leads them into its banqueting house and waves its banner of love. They delight to contemplate the antiquity of that covenant, remembering that before the day star knew its place or planets ran their round, the interests of the saints were made secure in Christ Jesus. It is peculiarly pleasing to them to remember the sureness of the covenant while meditating upon the sure mercies of David. They delight to celebrate it as signed and sealed and ratified, in all things ordered well. It often makes their hearts dilate with joy to think of its immutability as a covenant which neither time nor eternity, life nor death, shall ever be able to violate. A covenant as old as eternity, and as everlasting as the rock of ages. They rejoice also to feast upon the fullness of this covenant, for they see in it all things provided for them. God is their portion, Christ their companion, the Spirit their comforter, earth their lodge, and heaven their home. They see in it an inheritance reserved and entailed to every soul possessing an interest in its ancient and eternal deed of gift. Their eyes sparkled when they saw it as a treasure trove in the Bible. But oh, how their souls were gladdened when they saw in the last will and testament of their divine kinsman that it was bequeathed to them. More especially, it is the pleasure of God's people to contemplate the graciousness of this covenant. They see that the law was made void because it was a covenant of works and depended upon merit. But this they perceive to be enduring, because grace is the basis, grace the condition, grace the strain, grace the bulwark, grace the foundation, grace the topstone. The covenant is a treasury of wealth, a granary of food, a fountain of life, a storehouse of salvation, a charter of peace, and a haven of joy.
Sing glory to His name. Shout with joy to God, all the earth His glorious
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you. This is the day when we are reaping the harvest of the stupidity and the wicked folly of the late Harold Ockingay, who invented with a few others this new evangelical credo that says instead of separation, we're going to have integration. We're going to have association. We want to have the acceptance. We want to have the intellectual and the moral acceptance. We're going to Christianize society by integrating with it. That is the basic credo of the new evangelical movement. Does not believe in separation. I tell you, it's not of God. It is not of God. I want to say, no matter what a revered preacher like Billy Graham or theologians or church movements or anything or anybody else has to say, this old book teaches separation of life. Separation of life. Man, that's a message that needs to get to our fundamentalist churches. It's not enough to be separated from this ism and that denomination and that denomination if your own life is not separated. Separation of life. We're talking now personal, basic, biblical holiness. That's what we're talking. Christians must separate from wicked fellowship. You can't walk with the world and walk with Christ. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can you? I've talked about the television. Can you spend 20 hours a week there and give the Lord 15 minutes in a week and think you're walking with God? Can you do that? Can you fill your mind with all the filth of the world, the entertainment, the music, the logic? I made a reference in this pulpit some time ago to Christians who will listen to some right-wing talk show host for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then they wonder why their thinking's all wrong. He may be right down the line on economics, but he's a mouthpiece of the devil when it comes to everything spiritual. And yet you have God's people, and they'll give hours and hours and hours. We have Christians here, and you know you do it. You would never listen to rock music. You're too holy for that. Well, thank God you wouldn't. It's a terrible folly to do so. You wouldn't read pornographic literature. Well, thank God you wouldn't. But you'll listen to it for 15 or 20 hours a week. I'm not an isolationist. Not saying you can never listen to something or somebody who's not a Christian. Not saying that you opt out of the national debate. Not saying any of that. But I'm saying if you keep on programming your brain with something that is not of God, don't think you're ever going to walk with God. It cannot be done. Separation. Holiness. That's the demand of God for his people in these days. 2 Corinthians 6:14 is usually quoted about separation from apostasy. Well, it means that, but it means separation in every part of life. And what's true of the individual is true of the church. Separation. Man, if you'd said 20 years ago, in fact, if you'd said 5 or 10 years ago, what would happen in 1995 in America? People would have said you were mad. You said you were mad. It couldn't happen. When we warned people in Northern Ireland years and years ago about the dangers of the ecumenical movement and the union movement that was going on to bring together Protestantism and Romanism under the headship of the Roman Catholic Pope, we had people say, you're mad. can't happen. Never happen. But it is happening. It is happening. And I want to tell you, it's nearer completion today than you would ever dream. It is nearer completion at this point in time than you would ever dream. And you mark my words, when that happens, you will then see the screw begin to turn on anybody who takes a stand for God. You will then find that the motto of Rome has been very carefully chosen, Semper Eadem, the church that is always the same. Always the same. Hasn't changed one bit from the days of the Inquisition. Not one bit. Never will. The genius of Satan in it will not let it change. I want you to understand this. In our day, we have lived to see some of the top evangelical leaders in the United States of America sign a document calling for what amounts to union with Rome. Calling that you do not proselytize. Do you know what that means? You let the Roman Catholics of America perish in their sin. For that would be proselytizing to bring them to Christ. Men and women, we are living in a day when the barriers are broken down. We're living in a day when apostasy is rampant. And the call for the church is to come out and be separate, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. The second great king we have to slay is the king of evil association. The third king is Jarmuth. Jarmuth would have the idea of loftiness or heights. The third great king to oppose the gospel is pride. Pride, the king of evil. That's what led our first parents into disobedience. That's what led them to death, isn't it? This loftiness that could place them above the law of God and above the command of God. Sinners perish, we read in Scripture clearly, because of their pride. The psalmist said in Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Man, what an eye-opener that is. How that lifts the lid off the human heart. What is it that keeps sinners from Christ? Their pride. Their pride. The wicked through the pride of his countenance refuses to seek after God. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? When his heart was lifted up, his mind was hardened in pride. God had to have him deposed from his kingly throne. That's the king of pride. What must be done to it? Slay it. How do you slay the sin of pride? The sinner comes humbly confessing his sin and his need. He comes to Christ with all that wickedness. And before the Savior, he confesses this wicked heart does not want Christ. But oh, I need Christ. And confess him and take him. Put to death the wickedness of pride. Pride's the enemy of God's people as well. We must slay it. It brings shame, according to Proverbs 11 and 2. It goes before a fall. In Proverbs 16, 18. And I want you to get this. It divides the church of Christ. Proverbs 13:10 tells me, only by pride cometh contention. I've seen many a church split. I wish I could say I'd never had, but I've seen many a church split. I've seen Christian get mad at Christian and divide the body of Christ. I've never seen it happen once where pride didn't get in. Pride causes contention. And worst of all, it turns away the face of the Lord. turns away the face of God. Pride of grace, pride of face, pride of race, pride of your economic position, pride of anything else. Pride turns away the face of God, for God resisteth the proud. You see the proud man come to pray and God pushes him away. We must slay it. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The fourth king is Lachish. Difficult word to be sure of its etymology, but most of the experts believe that Lachish has the idea of invincible, or something that's hard to capture. I thought of that. The fourth king to oppose the gospel is the hardness of heart, that inveterate devotion to sin. Men love darkness rather than light, said Jesus, because their deeds are evil. What's it talking about here? It's talking about something that is deeply rooted in sin. Talking about something that has the strong habitual force of sin. Something that has the reinforcement of long practice and the love of sin. Now let me tell you, in personal life, let me get this to God's people. It will follow on in the idea of personal holiness. In personal life, we are called not to toy with sin, not simply to say, well, I can't deal with sin, I can't overcome this, I can't give it up, it's too strong for me. We are called to assault the most invincible strongholds of sin. We are called to a battle to the death with our most cherished lusts and habits. We are called to put the king of Lachish to death. That, my friend, is the call of God. And of course, with the call, there is the promise. You can kill the king of Lachish, by the way. There is victory. There is victory. Doesn't matter what that king of Lachish may do in your life. There's victory for the man who's alcoholic. There's victory for the drug addict. There's victory for the porn addict. There's victory for the man who's addicted to his own pride. There's victory for the man who's overcome with his own self-righteousness. There is victory in Jesus for the people of God, even over the king of Lachish. We live in a day, unfortunately, when too many Christians have simply laid down their arms and have come to terms with sin. And the king of Lachish lives and thrives. And we let him live and we let him thrive. Same's true as far as the church is concerned. We let the strongholds of sin live on. When David came up to Jerusalem, what did he do? I want you to get this. He did something that nobody else had done the whole time from Joshua. He said, there is Zion, the stronghold of Zion. Jerusalem is ours, has been for centuries. But Zion, the stronghold, still is in the hand of the Jebusites. David said, this is my capital. I must take Zion. Take it, he did.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.